T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Is something burning? No, it's just time for the WIP Evening Show Hot Stove Check-In.
Yes, it is that time of night. The Hot Stove Check-In on the Evening Show. Joe Giglio with you. And Manny Machado's in San Diego. The Phillies and Bryce Harper and Scott Boras continue the game of posturing as we wait. There's actually baseball to talk about down in Clearwater. The first spring training game is coming up on Friday. So the Phillies are gearing up for what will be a season with or without Bryce Harper. We here, at least I do, hope it will be with Bryce Harper. Regardless of what it costs, we'll see what Scott Lauber lobs. Let me ask Scott before we get started here. Scott Lauber, Philly.com, Philly Inquirer, and the Daily News. Does Gabe Kapler call you lobs, Scott? Because Jack and I assume he does.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm sure that he has, you know, Gabe, he has nicknames for everyone. So sure, you know, why not? Let's go with it.
All right, lobs it is. Scott, the waiting game continues here. And yesterday, the game changed because Manny Machado landed with the San Diego Padres, $300 million. And since then, Scott, the Phillies have continued their, we're not going to be too stupid. We're going to have, we're not going to go crazy here. But I think the reality is at some point, they're going to have to give in to Bryce Harper. Otherwise, this offseason is just not going to make as much sense as it looked like it was going to a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, I mean, I would take, and I wrote this yesterday, I would take what Matt Klentak said yesterday and definitely sort of put it into that sort of context that, look, you know, he's a horrible negotiator. If he comes out and he says, yep, that's right, you know, now it's going to be all about Bryce and we'll give him whatever he wants and here's a blank check and you write your number in and John Middleton's got, you know, signed it already and, you know, Bryce gets whatever Bryce wants. I mean, that's certainly not the way they're going to approach this. And they're also not going to do that because they don't really know at this point who else is in this. You know, I sort of wonder whether it's, you know, the Phillies are kind of bidding against themselves in a scenario like that because, you know, if you're going to go over $300 million to go get Bryce Harper, I don't see, you know, the San Francisco Giants going long-term with Bryce Harper. The White Sox have already sent signals today that they're not in this thing. They clearly like Machado more, and they're not going to go, you know, crazy on Harper. The Nationals, I think, you know, will always have the chance at the end of all of this to match whatever the best offer is that Harper has. But, you know, they've sort of, you know, they've spent a lot of money this winter on other things. And, you know, go on and on down the list. And I've covered baseball long enough to know that just when you think that a Scott Boras client does not have the market that he thought he would, Boras seems to find a way of making that market materialize. But I just don't – I wonder whether that's going to happen here. I mean, spring training games begin on Friday, you know, and he's not in any kind of a camp yet. And, you know, at some point this thing has to come to an end. And so, no, they're not going to come out and they're not going to say it's Bryce or bust, we'll give him whatever he wants. But I do think that a team that has – that has sort of set up its offseason centered around these two guys, that no matter what they say, I don't really think that they can come out of this without Bryce Harper at this point. And I think they know that, and I think ultimately it'll happen. But, you know, again, there's going to be a lot of, as you said, posturing and back and forth before it ends up getting done.
Scott, when it came to Manny Machado, they had a walk-away point, and it seemed like they were given the chance or at least told, like, hey, we're going to go to San Diego now, and they chose not to continue negotiations or top the offer. I just wonder the game of poker they're playing here, and I agree with what you said to start off, that there's probably not anyone else that is going to be in their ballpark, and they're probably going to have the high bid, and it's about waiting. But it is a risky game. Like, Matt Klentak could be looking at the hand of the White Sox or the hand of the Giants or the hand of the Nationals and saying, they have a pair of twos. Well, if they're holding a full house, what if they don't get this player? I just wonder if the risks now to this game of poker, Scott, because there's no fallback plan now. Manny Machado's not there if they lose out on Bryce Harper.
Yeah, it really is a dangerous game. And you know, this talk, and we heard it from Andy McPhail at the beginning of the offseason, and we heard it, you know, we've heard it on and off throughout the offseason from different people that we've talked to in the organization that, you know, the Phillies are saying, well, look, this is not the last offseason that there are going to be free agents, good players who are available in free agency. Next year it'll be Nolan Arenado and Anthony Rendon and maybe Paul Goldschmidt. And the year after that, it'll be Mookie Betts and Mike Trout. And the year after that, it'll be Francisco Lindor and Carlos Correa and on down the list. Well, that's all well and good, but there are no guarantees that those guys, that all of those guys, or the one you would want, reaches free agency. Any of them or all of them could wind up signing contract extensions. There is no guarantee that in a future offseason, the Yankees will be on the sidelines the way they were this offseason, or the Dodgers, or the Cubs, you know, the teams that are sort of involved in these things who have not been involved at all in Harper or Machado. You know, so it's you know, I don't buy for one second that they're going to kick the can down the road and say, well, we'll get, you know, our megastar in another free agent class, because you just don't know that those guys are going to be there, and you don't know what's going to happen. So, you know, for me, at the stage that they are in their rebuild, look, they made a trade 2 weeks ago that I think moved the goalpost for them. I mean, they traded their top prospect and a catcher that they were very high on for JT Realmuto, who is under their control for two more years. With that trade, at least for me, they said, our rebuild is over. We are in it to win it this year. We are here to contend, to win our division, to put an end to this seven-year playoff drought. Now, if you've done that and you've sent that message, can you really not take that final step and add, you know, Bryce Harper to the mix? Are you really going to kick the can down the road and say, we'll get our star a year from now or 2 years from now? It doesn't really fit the timeline anymore. You've got to get the guy now. And I think that this is all part of their thinking here in terms of, now we need Bryce Harper. And I don't think that there's any way that they could spin it as a positive thing, even though they'll try, if they come up empty here.
I agree. And that changed everything. And it really, the whole thing doesn't make sense. Like, the way they built this puzzle now and the way they built their franchise without finishing this off. Scott Lauber, Philly.com, joining us here on the Hot Stove Check-In. Scott, I don't know what it's going to take. I don't know what Scott Boris is asking for. I don't know what the gap is right now between, let's say, the Phillies and Bryce Harper. But I am starting to wonder if we'll eventually reach a point of diminishing returns. And I realize I'm talking about millions and millions of dollars, and it's easy for me to do that behind a microphone. But just for argument's sake, Scott, let's say the Phillies offers $310 million right now, and Scott Boris and Bryce Harper want to beat Stanton and want to have $326 to have the highest contract in baseball history. Is that really worth it to wait another week or wait another 2 weeks? I just wonder, if they're going to get him, they know they're going to get him, and they don't really believe anyone else is involved, why not just finish this now unless the gap is ridiculous?
Well, this is the game of chicken, right, that's probably going on here. You know, now we know that 10-300 is the baseline, right? That's what you're going to have to beat. And I'm sure that there are some magic numbers that Boris has in mind. 325 is the Stanton deal. He has said many times that it's apples and oranges, right? That free agency is different from a contract extension. So Machado has the free agent record, which Boris is going to want. I think he's going to want a top 325 as well. I also think that a number that is important to them is the average annual value record, which is $34.3 million, which is Zach Greinke. So if he wants to top all three of those records, then you come in at 10, like 345, and I think you've got a deal. Now, if you're the Phillies, do you have to go that high, right? I mean, if you're really the only team that's that serious about a long-term deal for Bryce Harper, do you have to get that far? Do you have to get to 345? Can you do it at, like you said, at 310? Can you do it at 315? How far do you have to go over 300 to make them happy And also, how far do you have to go over 300 so that when – and I believe it's gonna be before Bryce Harper signs, I believe the Nationals are going to get a chance to match. I think Boris will go to the Nationals and say, here's my best offer, take it or leave it. And the Nationals are still a wild card in all of this because they've got a 92-year-old owner who desperately wants to win. Is he going to let his franchise player all these years go to a division rival unless the Phillies' offer is so far and above that he can't possibly match? So if it's 310, maybe they say, well, all right, fine, we'll do 315 and we'll keep him, you know, or something like that. This is all part of the calculus here. How far do the Phillies have to go to ensure, number one, that they make an offer that Harper can't turn down, and number two, they make an offer that the Nationals can't match? And I'm sure that all of these things are being thought of or thought through when they get to the point where they make their ultimate offer or their final offer. How high and how far do they have to go to make sure that he's their guy? And what's their walk-away point? You know, I mean, their walk-away point on Machado was $300 million or somewhere a little less than that. I wonder what their walk-away point is with Harper. And we don't know that. And, you know, at the end of the day, you know, we're probably not going to know entirely what that walk-away number is if they wind up walking away from it. So, you know, these are all things that need to be kind of hammered out, and I'm sure that this is all part of what they're talking about.
They have to be. Scott Lauber joining us right now. And, Scott, I think a lot of times, you mentioned the owner down in Washington, Ted Lerner, a lot of times the walk-away number for a general manager is much more black and white than the walk-away number for an owner. And I just keep coming back to this thing might end because John Middleton decides it's going to end. Now, look, Matt Klentak might say, hey, everyone, Bryce Harper's worth 325 over 10. We shouldn't go a dime over that. It's just not a good idea. But if John Middleton, after making the stupid money comments, after coming in this state, in this studio, Scott, 2 years ago, he sat right where I'm sitting right now and told the audience that he's going to get that trophy back or he's going to die trying, I just don't see how John Middleton lets the front office dictate what this walk-away number is. Maybe for Machado, maybe they're all on board, but it's just hard for me to believe this owner is going to let that happen now.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you, Joe, and I've thought that all along. Whether it was Machado or Harper, I've felt like this owner, like John Middleton, wasn't going to be denied this offseason, and I still feel that way. You know, I think that he's, as you said, determined to get his trophy back, and he's got a competitive streak, and he's, you know, I think he trusts his baseball ops people and his analytics department. I think he trusts what their valuation is of these guys, but at the end of the day, it is his money, and at the end of the day, if it's a player that he really wants, he certainly has the ability to say, okay, you can tell me what you think he's worth. I'm going to tell you that we're going to spend whatever it takes to get him. So you make sure you do that. And, you know, I think that maybe that's in play here too. And there are a lot of things too. I mean, John Middleton's got a lot of people talking to him and advising him, and I'm sure Andy McPhail and Matt Klentak are telling him how far he should go, and then it's up to him. But ultimately, it is up to him if he wants to go farther than that.
Scott Lauber with us here. Scott, there's more than just Bryce Harper going on. As we wait and
there
wait,
is?
The Phillies wait. Yeah, there's a baseball team down there starting to get ready to try to play some games. Mikel Franco is a big story right now because after an offseason where it really felt like they were ready to move on, Andy McPhail at the end of season press conference last year said something to the effect of maybe the next guy or next team could fix him. Well, he's still here. Manny Machado isn't. And unless something changes or he really slumps, he's probably going to be given another opportunity to be the Phillies' third baseman. What have you thought? What do you think? And what's the latest on Mikel?
Yeah, he looks like he'll get that chance. You know, I know that Gabe Kapler has said that it's a competition between Franco and Kingery for third base, but he's also said that, you know, this team works really well with Michael Franco as their third baseman, at least now that Manny Machado is going to San Diego. And you do look at it, and you say, all right, well, let's say Kingery wins the job. What is Franco's role? You know, he, unlike Kingery, he doesn't play everywhere on the field, and he would essentially be a right-handed hitter off the bench, and that is it. So, you know, I think Franco, you know, I don't think they, much like Odubel Herrera and Roman Quinn, you know, in center field, I don't think it hurts at all to make Michael Franco think that he's got to compete for the job. But, you know, I think I'd be very surprised if he doesn't end up winning that third base job. And, you know, I mean, the thing you forget about him, because he's been here so long, is that he's 26. I mean, he's the same age as Harper and Machado. And we're talking about how young those guys are in the context of free agency, and how, as good as they are at age 26, there's a chance that they might still be getting better. You know, I think that there's a chance at age 26 that Michael Franco is not a finished product yet, that there might be more in there for him as well. And so, you know, while the Phillies certainly, made an aggressive move for Machado, they did not view any of the other third basemen who are out there other than Machado as an upgrade over Franco. I mean, I can tell you that Mike Moustakas, you know, people might say, well, so, you know, if they had just moved on from Machado sooner, maybe they could have had Moustakas. Well, I don't think that they looked at Moustakas as a major upgrade over Franco. In fact, they looked at him as almost a negligible upgrade over Franco. So, you know, again, I think that they're going to move forward with Michael Franco against all odds. I didn't think he'd be back. But they're going to move forward with him, and they're going to hope that at 26, there's still something in there that they can tap, and that he can be a better player than he's been.
We shall see, and it's one of the camp storylines that we'll probably all focus on a lot more once this Bryce Harper thing is resolved. Scott, always appreciate a few minutes, and we'll be reading to Philly.com, and we'll talk soon.
Sounds good, Joe. Anytime.
There he goes. You got it. Lobs joining us there on the Hot Stove check-in. And yes, the Michael Franco is still here.
He lives on. It's pretty crazy. You know, Lobs, I think we were probably the first show to bring him on. Now he's been on only twice.
He's on the Baseball Tonight podcast.
Yeah, what's next? Is he going to work for ESPN like we did with Orlovsky?
Well, I think he already worked for ESPN, didn't he?
Yeah, I don't know.
Scott left ESPN to come back to Philadelphia. Anyway, maybe he's going back to ESPN. I don't know what's happening.
Maybe the national guy for ESPN. It's just, you know, the things we do.
Yeah, we make people stars around here. All right, let's listen to a couple.
Except for ourselves.
That's right. That's okay. Let's listen to a couple stars in the sports media industry, baseball specifically, talk about this Philly situation. First, Buster Olney on the Baseball Tonight podcast, in which Scott Lauber was a guest of, talking about, well, listen, he's going to talk about a number that he thinks is going to be as part of this deal when it is reported eventually. Here's Buster Olney.
And because of that emotion now involved in it, knowing, you know, Scott will sometimes do the smoke and mirrors and the options, deferred money, whatever it is, it would not shock me, because the Machado contract definitely is higher than what most people in the game expected. It would not shock me if Bryce's deal, when it's first leaked out through one of Scott's guys in the media, it's going to have the number 4 in it. And it'll be very interesting to see, you know, sort of how it's structured and what the actual present day value. But don't be surprised with that. I still think the Phillies get him.
4. And the way I took that, he did not mean, because I tweeted it today, and people were like, well, he means 340. I think he meant $400 million.
I just love that he's referred to Scott's guys in the media.
Oh, the people that he gives all the information to?
Yeah, just taking shots.
Yeah, well, he is, at Heyman.
You think Olney says no? Like, the way I envision it is, I think Olney says no to the info. I think Rosenthal says no, and I think Morosi says no.
Yeah, they're not going, maybe they don't even get it anymore. Like, they're not on good terms anymore.
Or they don't want to be led astray, only look like a fool, like, yeah, John Heyman looks like.
He said 4 there, and people are freaking out. I wouldn't be surprised if it's 10, 3, 4. Scott just made a good, you know, he laid out a good case where 10, 3, 45 could be the magic number for everything. If it's 10, 3, 45, all it would have to be is a couple option years at the end, and it's like, if he hits this many home runs and there's one option year at the end, they could pretend it's 400.
Yeah, I can see that.
It's going to freak people out when they see it, though.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be a meltdown.
$400 million?
Heyman or Martino or whoever is going to come out and say the Phillies have an agreement with Bryce Harper for a $400 million contract.
Yes, that will be the first thing we hear. Okay, The next thing that Buster Olney said, and it alludes to what we've been talking about tonight with John Middleton, is how he thinks this thing ends. Here's Buster Olney.
Yeah, and I do think if he's going to go to the Phillies, it's going to be because John Middleton basically grabs the steering wheel away from the analytics people in his front office and said, I don't care about value. I know what the reaction of the fan base is going to be if we don't sign this guy.
I think that's how this is going to end. It seems like the Phillies have been united most of the time here this offseason, but I think this ends when John Middleton says it ends. Now, as far as when that is and the timing, John Morosi, MLB.com, was on a Fox Sports affiliate doing an interview about when and how this whole thing goes down. Listen to the timeline he lays out on when we could see Harper agree to a deal.
When is the Harper story going to break? Well, it's going to break about 3 minutes before the Manny Machado press conference begins. At the end of this semester,
right.
And then you'll have the crew of reporters all barreling out of the room to go tweet news of the Harper signing. So that's my belief, is that about 3 minutes before that press conference starts, you're going to get the Harper news dropping, and that's going to be a big story there in Major League Baseball.
When that press conference comes, who's having it?
Well, great question. I think it's going to be the Phillies. To me, the reason is this. They, I believe, are going to have the biggest offer, and they can also give Harper something that the Giants can't, which is an opportunity to win right now.
There's Morosi on when it happens. So the Machado press conference is scheduled for Friday. So if he's right on this news dropping 3 minutes before the Manny Machado press conference, that means Bryce Harper is signed, sealed, and delivered to the Phillies on Friday. I wouldn't bet on it, but I will. I'll take that one. I'll go with that. 888-729-9.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.